From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. Back to the park now, to Walter Pierce Park in Washington, D.C. Every Tuesday this August, commentator Katie Davis is sharing stories about this popular spot in her neighborhood. The park covers 4 acres, which is enormous for the densely packed neighborhood known as Adams Morgan. There's a playing field framed by a buckled backstop and a seesaw and swings. Along the perimeter, there's a narrow strip of land where people grow vegetables. That's where we find today's story, in the community garden.
Every spring, I get the phone calls. Hi, I just moved into the neighborhood and I want to get a plot in the community garden. What should I do? The best way, I tell them, is to go to the garden around 5:30 in the morning and look for Victor. He'll be filling the water barrels. This is not what they want to hear. They want to sign up on the phone, or better yet, by email. It is city land, after all. There should be a system, they say. Victor is the system, I tell them. You can find him in the garden just as the light begins to fill the sky.
By yourself, your mind is at ease. And when you hear the birds start singing, tak, tak, tak. Oh, yeah.
Victor Zabina of Martinique. He knows every plot in every gardener's story, all 40 of them.
Hello, stranger.
How are you?
And I give you some beans, some pole beans you can put against the fence. He can climb on the fence.
Victor's power is rooted in the days when there was no garden here, no park even, just an abandoned field. 35 years ago, he paced off a finger-shaped parcel for the community garden. And since then, he's been in charge. Victor, Don Victor. And here is where it might help to kneel and take his hand. Can I please have a piece of land to grow a few tomatoes? For decades, Victor handed out roomy plots about the size of a garage door, mostly to Latinos. Not many others asked. He gave the land as if writing a prescription. You've lost your way in this country, Victor would say. Go, put your hands in the earth.
Listen, there is one they call Lalo. He was drunk, and he was having trouble with his life. He never sent money to his wife and his kids. He came one day, he was crying, and he talked to me. He told me, if you give me a piece of land, I'll try to stay here until sundown, and then I'll go home to sleep.
Lalo did stop drinking and sent money to El Salvador for his wife to buy land and a house. That was 5 years ago, and most afternoons you can still find Lalo fertilizing his corn at the bottom of a steep hill. This patch is ugly, but I love it, says Lalo. Let's see how long they let me keep it. Lalo feels change in the garden and the neighborhood. Once working class, now wealthier, more professional. And that means more supplicants in search of Victor, a problem he solves by dividing the plots and redividing them. And it's getting crowded here in the garden. A few years ago, Victor gave some land to an Albanian immigrant and ushered in a new era. We watched as the Albanian turned his soil. We'd never seen anyone garden in a black suit, smoking unfiltered cigarettes. But he knew what he was doing, molding thick rows and then planting masses of beans that sprouted quickly. One morning, the Albanian came into the garden, stooped over with a load of warped plywood and formica on his back. And then he started hammering and hammering, and just like that, his garden was completely walled in. It's amazing how instantly our trust evaporated, how it was no longer good enough to place a few rocks to mark boundaries. People wrapped chicken wire around their lettuce, barbed wire around the rosemary. One couple erected a chain-link fence and padlocked it. The community garden was balkanized. Every year, someone tries to just go around Victor and take a plot.
And my... Hey! Basta! Facciamo finita!
Tessa arrived at our park with her terrier on the back of her scooter, pining to get her hands dirty like she did back in Italy. She first met Country Bobby. Everyone does, because he's in the garden 7 days a week. Bobby pointed to an abandoned plot and told Tessa, go ahead, take that one.
I cleaned it, I planted it, and fenced it and everything else. The next day I came back. All of my plants had been ripped out, and then they'd taken the 3 garbage cans and dumped them in the middle.
So Tessa went to Victor, and he gave her a plot. She spent hours there, fussing with her roses and lettuce, ignoring the tomato thieves, and talking to everyone.
The majority of the new people that are here are in D.C. in transition for probably their 2.5 years while they're working on the hill, and they decorate their garden beautifully with gold-painted rocks and mobiles made of blue bottles, which is absolutely beautiful. But the people who are here who are gardening because they need the tomatoes to be able to make preserve to eat throughout the winter are like, that's not what we want for our garden.
Tessa talked like an old-timer, but she did things that were unnerving. She called the police when people barbecued in their plots. She lobbied Victor to take down all the fences because she didn't like the way they looked. That summer, anger grew. Miguel attacked Victor when plants were pulled up from his plot. Miguel insisted the plants were to honor his dead mother. Victor said they were marijuana seedlings. Miguel threatened to cut Victor's head off with a machete, and Tessa was right in the middle of it.
Fight breaks out. It's three Latinos against Victor, who can hold his own even at 75. Throw him down, kick him, we call the police, they get arrested.
The police found a machete hidden in the garden plot and confiscated it. It all got to be too much for Tessa, especially after her scooter was vandalized. That's when she decided to step back.
If I were them and I were as angry, the next thing I would go for is my dog. And I come from a country where dogs are poisoned all the time as warning signs.
After that summer, Tessa gave notice on her plot and transplanted her rose bushes into the children's butterfly garden, my plot. To make room, she ripped out a half dozen bushes, spirea bushes, which she had always hated, but the butterflies loved. They'd been there 20 years. Tessa left for Italy, and I stayed, deeply rooted that I am. I've found that is often the best strategy against those who promote change in my neighborhood without talking it through. Wait them out. They get tired of the unruliness and unpredictability. I spent the whole winter thinking about where to move Tessa's rose bushes. And in the spring, I dug them up, gently, mind you, and then I put them in their place, another place.
That comes from Katie Davis and her ongoing series, Neighborhood Stories. To see photographs of the park, go to our website at npr.org. Our program is directed by Carlene Watson, edited by Steve Drummond, and produced by Graham Smith. The technical director is Marty Curcius.
The production staff includes Allison McAdam, Julia Buckley, Rhonda Ray, Jonathan Baer, Carol Klinger, Franklin Cater, and Quinn O'Toole.
Our executive producer is Christopher Turpin. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.